thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the Urban Sports Scene.
Yeah, you're listening to the Urban Sports Scene. I am Wally. I'm here, my boy Ice Willie T. What's up, Ice Willie T?
Not much, man. How you doing?
I'm good, man. God is good. It's a blessing, man. We're here. We're breathing. You know, another week of the Urban Sports Scene. We're missing our homie Ray Jeezy. He's out sick, but we'll hopefully we'll have him back next week. But yeah, everything is good, man. Great week of football. The Washington Redskins beat the Philadelphia Eagles. Will Stradamus is still Will Stradamus. You know that? Still kicking. Yeah, you're still leading our picks and whatnot.
shout out to Ray. Just got back to 500. So, probably bring up the rear. Making us look bad.
You ain't had to go there, though. You ain't have to.
Truth is truth, man.
All that will be discussed later on in our football pick'em segment. Big news. Well, some news. Next week, next Monday, we will be on the MVP, which stands for the most valuable perspective sports talk sports talk radio show on Crown Media Radio. I'll be on there from 6 to 8. We're going to give you more details. Check out our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page, which is Urban Sports Scene. Just search Urban Sports Scene on Facebook, or you know, www.facebook.com/Urban Sports Scene. But Will, how we do
it? Our tradition, the pregame.
Here are the topics. We're going to talk about the Washington Redskins defeating the Philadelphia Eagles 27-20. We'll have Anthony Raposa, host of On the Warpath podcast, which is featured on ESPN 980 at 8:20. We will preview Sunday's Redskins-Detroit Lions game, which is at Detroit at 8:40. We'll make our Week 7 NFL picks and fantasy football picks. And just to finally to close the show out, we'll discuss the Washington Nationals being eliminated by the LA Dodgers, what's next for the Nationals, and much more. But first, again, we're going to talk about the Washington Redskins defeating the Philadelphia Eagles 27-20. As mentioned, we have Anthony Raposa, host of On the Warpath podcast. Before we get into all that, Will, what was your thoughts of the game before we get to Anthony real quick?
Philadelphia, I think they threw some coaching errors and some errors on the field, gave up a great opportunity for them to get a game in the W column versus the NFC East opponent. You had the game tied at 14-14, and you also had a chance, you know, tied at 14-14 at half, and also with the last, minute and 30, within the last 2 minutes, you had a chance to drive down the field and tie the game up again, tie the game up to take it to overtime. So it's just all around an inconsistent performance from Philadelphia, particularly from the offensive side of the ball. They got a lot of things to fix. They still have a rookie quarterback, but I still think Philadelphia fans should feel some type of promise about the direction that the season's taken thus far.
Hey, Anthony, you hear what Will T just said about the Philadelphia Eagles, but were you surprised at the way the Washington Redskins won the game?
I won't say that I was surprised about it. I knew that this was an opportunity that the Redskins had to come in and prove a point. And, you know, obviously, with them being at home, I felt like they were going on a good high. And plus at the same time, I think we all knew that this time would come where Carson Wentz would come back down to earth a little bit. And yeah, I mean, overall, I'm proud of the way that the Redskins played. And I think this is a good chance for them to get some good momentum, going forward in the next 2 weeks before they get on their bye week.
Right now, you're listening to Urban Sports Scene with Wally Will T. We have Anthony Raposa, host of On the Warpath podcast, talking Redskins. For me, I was a little surprised myself. I was surprised in the trenches that the Redskins offensive line and defensive line dominated the game. Can you give me your thoughts about that?
Well, let me just say the Redskins offensive line, even before going into this game, is the best I've seen in literally years. And I'm definitely proud of the way that this team has looked in the trenches, especially on the offensive side of the ball. I've been watching tape, and Spencer Long, to me, just looks like the real deal at center, which is good. That's a good relief, especially because that was a position that the team had had to shuffle around. You know, the failed trade with Stork, you know, Lichtensteiger getting hurt. So it's good to see that that position's held down. Sean LaValla at left guard is looking good. So I think overall the offensive line is really strong, and it's a position group that right now to me is the top five in the NFL. On the defensive line, it's good to see those guys getting some confidence, especially because, I mean, it's no secret that that's an area that gets beat up a lot. So that's a Scott McLuhan philosophy. You know, you want to win in the trenches. And so I think this is definitely a positive for them. And luckily going against the Detroit Lions coming up, that's not an area of strength for them. So I think it'll be good to see their area focus more on the secondary, because it's going to be tough to stop Stafford. But overall, I think both sides had a big positive going forward in that game.
You mentioned we're talking about the offensive line, and obviously they created big holes for the running game. The running game did pretty well against the Philadelphia Eagles. Your thoughts on the running game?
Yeah, it's definitely good to see the, you know, Matt Jones trending upwards, especially because he struggled against the Baltimore Ravens. You know, he was only averaging 2 yards a carry, and now he turned around against the Eagles, and he actually averaged 8 yards a carry at 135 yards rushing and a touchdown. So I think that's good for him. You know, Rob Kelly and Chris Thompson also had a strong game. And, you know, I actually think it's good for Matt Jones to have someone like Rob Kelly behind him playing strong, because I think this kind of lights a fire under him and lets him know that his job isn't exactly safe. And I think sometimes it's good for guys to have that competition. And at the same time, I think having a running back by committee is good at the same time, because it keeps legs fresh. So I think it's definitely moving in a good direction. And on top of that, you know, having balance is important, because it's actually going to help Kirk Cousins out a lot to have the run game looking good. And if you want to look around the rest of the league, you can see the importance of balance, because look at Aaron Rodgers. You know, many people would say Aaron Rodgers is the best quarterback in football, but he has no run game, and look at the results that we're seeing because of that.
Oh, yeah, I agree. You see what's going on with Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers looks shaky regardless, though. He just looks bad. He's missing.
Yeah, and, you know, his fundamentals, mm-hmm. you know, on another note, his fundamentals, you know, he just looks off. You know, there's just something about Rodgers that doesn't look good, and, yeah, I mean, that's a whole different story. Mm-hmm. But his offensive line is good right now.
Yeah.
His offensive line is actually playing as one of the top five in the league. but him not having a run game, I think, takes an effect. So really my point is, it doesn't matter who you are in this league. I don't care if you're Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, Cam Newton, it doesn't matter. If you want to have success in the NFL, you have to have balance. You know, this is not the University of Hawaii where you're going to throw 99% of the time, you know, or one of these college teams. Like, you have to have balance in the NFL or you're not going to have success. And I think the Redskins, it took them, you know, a couple weeks into the season to realize that.
I'm going to put you on the spot. Redskins have a nice three-headed monster when it comes to the running game right now. It looks like it. Give me a nickname for the running game, for these three dudes and Chris Thompson, Robert Kelly, and Matt Jones. I heard Bump and Grime. That's for two people, but I'm talking for a trio.
Yeah, I like that one. The Bump and Grime is good because of R. Kelly.
Yeah.
No, but you know what? That's a good one. You know, I don't know, man. It's kind of funny because I saw Johnson from the Cardinals last night. He got interviewed, and they were asking him about nicknames. And he was like, you know, man, at the end of the day, I'm not about all that, man. He's like, I just come out here and do my job, and I let them handle that. So I think that's kind of the same thing. You know, the Redskins, excuse me, they tried to make nicknames last year, and it didn't work out too good for them. So at this point, just go out and play football.
I like that thought process. You talked about the running game. You know, this team, this quarterback can play at a high level with a good running game. How would you assess Kirk Cousins' game on Sunday?
I think he's definitely trending in the right direction. You know, I've been really critical of him, but I think if you look at him, he looks a lot more decisive. He looks a lot more confident. Besides the interception, I think overall, you know, I think it's his strongest game of the season, actually.
Yeah, I know, and it was. It's crazy because he went 18 for 34. We've seen him stats-wise have better games and within stats, but I thought he did a lot of things that a lot of fans have been craving for him to do, like doing some off-schedule plays, stepping up in the pocket, running for the first down when he had the opportunity to. I just thought as a quarterback, he just played the position rather than being a machine or a robot.
Right, yeah, you're exactly right. And I think, you know, I think us as fans, we tend to be pretty hard on him, so it's good to see him, you know, turn that around.
Yeah, totally agree. So the Redskins are playing Lions on Sunday. We talked about that. What are the keys to a Redskins victory, for a Redskins victory?
Well, number one is obviously you want to stop Stafford. You know, Stafford right now is quietly having an MVP season. So I think my number one focus would be to stop Stafford and just continue to have balance on the offense. You definitely don't want to get caught up in the point where you're asking Cousins to throw, you know, 40 times a game. That's just not going to work. I think just continue balance and, yeah, stop Stafford. Don't let him get into a rhythm, or it's going to be a long day.
Do you think that this Detroit team matches up well with the Washington? With the Washington Redskins match up well with this Detroit team off this Detroit's offense, because this off the Detroit Lions offense is more of a passing offense, and that's the strength of the Washington Redskins defensively.
I'm sorry. Can you repeat that?
I'm sorry. So, do you think this this Detroit Lions team matches up well for the Washington Redskins because offensively they're a pass oriented team rather than a running team?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's definitely a good matchup on paper, but this is one of those games that you don't want it to fall into a trap game situation. Mm-hmm. You definitely don't want to underestimate this team. This is a team that also beat the Philadelphia Eagles.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you definitely want to go in and take them seriously. And like I said, Matthew Stafford is playing great football right now. And I think it's going to be a challenge for them, for that secondary. But you also don't want to sleep on the experienced guys, you know, like Justin Forsett. But I think overall it's a good matchup.
All right, so do you think the Redskins extend their winning streak to five?
Yeah, I think so. I am a believer that this team is going to be 6-2 with the bye, and then they're going to have that extra week to play Minnesota. I definitely feel confident of where this team is at right now, and I think they're gaining momentum and getting hot at the right time. So the short answer would be, yeah, absolutely.
Sweet. I'm with you. I'm hoping the same thing, and I believe that this team should definitely finish five and two after Sunday. Anthony, how can people listen to your podcast and find you on social media?
Yeah, my Twitter handle is @AnthonyRaposa. My last name is spelled RAPOSA. And you can find my podcast on RedskinsCapitalConnection.com. It's called On the Warpath, and it's also on ESPN 980 Radio.
All right. Anthony, thank you again for being on. We're going to try to get you on next week, hopefully, with the Redskins going 5-2.
All right. Sounds good, man. All right, you guys have a good one.
Same here. Take care. All right. That was Anthony Raposa, host of On the Warpath podcast, featured on ESPN 980. We're about to go to break. When we come back from break, we're going to discuss what Anthony had to say and also preview the Redskins versus the Lions. You listen to the Urban Sports Scene. You dig?
Deuces.
DC. What, you don't like the song? Why are you making that face, though?
I think you're going a little bit overboard.
Look, it's Victory Tuesday. Victory. We don't air on Monday. It's Victory Tuesday.
Okay.
You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene. I'm Wally. I'm here with my boy Ice Willie T. Ray Gigi's out sick. But yeah, it's Victory Tuesday. And you ain't into it?
Whatever.
Look, man.
I told you weeks ago, before the season started, I don't know, for whatever reason, I'm just not that amped about the football season.
Yeah, you said that.
And I continue to be that way.
A lot of people aren't.
Team that I was formerly a diehard fan of, Philadelphia Eagles, even with them jumping out to the amazing start that they got out to with the rookie quarterback.
Look, man, it happens, man. It happens.
Absolutely, it does.
Look, a lot of, in terms of ratings out there that have shown that a lot of people are down on football. They're not. NFL ratings have gone down, supposedly.
I don't know what it is, man. I don't know if it's maybe because I'm a little bit older. I have other interests.
Yeah.
But, don't get me wrong. I still enjoy, on occasion, sitting down Sunday mornings and watching football.
Mm-hmm.
But I just don't get that passion that I used to get.
Yeah, man. I don't know. I don't know about that. I love football.
I know you. You particularly love it this year with your team going, starting out 4-2.
Yeah, exactly. I'm enjoying it. You can't take this away from me. No one can.
No, and you shouldn't. I mean, as a fan, you should be enthusiastic and you should be passionate, especially with your team winning 4 games in a row and getting off to the start that they're getting off of. Considering that, for the past 25 years, it's been.
What are you about to say?
Disappointment.
All right, man. We are on Twitter. Tweet us at Urban Sports Scene. No S after sports. Also, like our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. And you can listen to us on the Sports Career Podcast Show on Thursday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Just visit www.blogtalkradio.com/WC Still a Fan. The show is produced by West Coast Still a Fan. All right. Did you have anything you wanted to say about what Anthony said about the Washington Redskins or?
No. I think, people finally got a chance to see a larger sample size of Robert Kelly.
Mm-hmm.
As Jay Gruden calls him Fat Rob.
Fat Rob, yeah.
And everyone saw why Jay Gruden has been very excited and been singing his praise. Even during the preseason and during the season when he hasn't gotten a lot of run.
Mm-hmm.
He came in, he gave you a great change of pace. And also, I think he motivated Matt Jones.
Oh, yeah.
So Matt Definitely. Jones ran harder. He ran behind his pads this time. And he ran with a little bit more burst.
Yeah, some violence.
Yeah.
He ran with some violence.
From a guy of course. Size.
You definitely want somebody to run with some passion, like they mean something. I'm with you. I think for me, Robert Kelly brought an element of competition. Right, so Matt Jones saw it, and if you saw that, as soon as when you saw Robert Kelly perform well, it was like, okay, ooh, I got to do something. So to me, Matt Jones started being a better runner when he saw Robert Kelly do what he did when he came on the field. So, and then you had Chris Thompson, who's been playing well, and I think that too could be good for somebody like Matt Jones and keep him fresh. And if that's the case, the Redskins should stick to that type of running game because that can benefit Kirk Cousins.
Absolutely. I mean, the running game and the offensive line play are Kirk Cousins' best friends. I think this is, I haven't gotten a chance to watch every game that Washington's played this season. I saw highlights and bits and pieces here and there. But I think from a team perspective, this is probably their best complete win.
Yeah.
Complete game period of the season.
Yeah, I think
offense and defense.
I totally agree with you. And once Robert Kelly had that 45-yard run, that's when you saw Matt Jones do what he did. And it's going to be interesting to see what this team does with the running game. They stick with it, especially when they play in the Detroit Lions. But how does this Redskins defense match up against the Lions offense?
I think it matches up pretty – the way they're playing currently matches up pretty favorably. I do think one aspect that Detroit is better than Washington is on, and I think that some people may say this is blasphemous because you have an all-pro, one of the top players, probably one of the top one or two players at his position, is their wide receivers versus Washington's DBs. Marvin Jones and Golden Tate. Everyone knows that that Josh Norman is going to do his thing. He's going to show up and show out. But then you have Breshad Breeland on either Marvin Jones or Golden Tate.
Uh-huh.
How's that going to fare out to him? We've seen during the year that Breeland has struggled on occasion. Matched up man to man on speedy receivers. And not to say that either one of them is you know, extremely fast. But Golden Tate is the type of, not going to say shifty, but he's a veteran that knows how to use his body to get in a position to you know, to free himself up, to get up, to create space against DBs. So it'll be interesting to see who they assign Josh Norman to, one guy or one side of the field. Or
I don't think he'll be assigned to one side of the field, because both wide receivers are, you know, they're decent receivers, but it's not like it's Antonio Brown. It's not Odell Beckham Jr. It's not Dez Bryant. I mean, they're good receivers. I'm not taking anything away from Golden Tate, because Golden Tate played well last year with Calvin Johnson being out. He played well last year.
Absolutely.
So they're talented receivers, but I don't think they have a big advantage. I'm just speaking in terms of you going against Josh Norman and even Breeland, seeing what Breeland struggled against Josh. Everybody looks at Josh Breeland struggling. He got dogged by Antonio Brown.
Yeah.
It's Antonio Brown. I'm not gonna hold that against him. That's like for instance, Richard Sherman getting abused by, say, getting abused by Julio Jones. It's Julio Jones.
Yeah.
That's supposed to happen. You know what I mean? So I can't give. So I just think the matchup with Breeland. I'm taking Breeland versus Jones. I'm cool with that. If I'm getting. Norman versus, Golden Tate, I'm cool with that. Or vice versa, I'm cool with that. You know what I mean? If they're getting embarrassed, then the coaching staff has to adjust, right? That's what they just have to do. They have to adjust. You can't play man. You're going to have to play some zone, play some too deep. You know what I mean? So.
But I will say this. Joe Barry has done a good job over the past couple of weeks of mixing it up.
Mm-hmm.
Bringing the blitz when needed. Bringing, you know, five men, six pass rushers, playing cover two, man, you know, or putting Josh Norman in a position where he's playing man,
mm-hmm.
but they're still playing, the rest of the DBs are playing cover two. So Joe Barry's done, he's done a fairly good job.
I think Joe Barry's done a really good job. It's just, you know, masking what they need to, masking a lot of things on defense. And also, I mean, to be honest with you, some of these offenses have helped them out. Without running, these offenses help them by throwing the ball instead of running the ball. We saw that in the Baltimore Ravens game, in the Eagles game. Yeah, in the Eagles game, they're still giving over 5 yards per pop. You know what I mean? They lead the league. They're second in the league, or tied for first with giving up 5 yards per carry. So this team can't stop the run. And a lot of these offenses, the teams that the Redskins have beaten, they've left them off the hook. They've let them off the hook by throwing the ball.
Yeah. One thing that was, I'm not going to say shocking, but I was surprised that Philadelphia didn't stay with the run mm-hmm. as much. You kind of put Carson Wentz, and I know Carson Wentz, he's played at a level that no one expected him to, but he's still, you know, a rookie on the road. A running game is your best friend. And also, you know, Philadelphia was missing Lane Johnson there, suspended. Right tackle.
Yeah, Kirk. Yeah, we all. Yeah, Ryan Kerrigan took him behind the woodshed and spanked that ass. Let's just keep it 100.
That's exactly what he did from the first snap.
Yeah, spanked that ass. It was
did it from the first snap.
Yeah, made him look
you
like.
Would think that.
Make him like Toby.
you would think that Philadelphia would, you know, chip Ryan Kerrigan,
mm-hmm.
put a tight end over on his side to block and then release out into the pattern, but. And I understand they did it a little bit more in the second half, but I think by that point, the rookie right tackle, it was a mental thing more than anything for him at that point.
Oh yeah, definitely. It was definitely disrespectful. What happened to him was very disrespectful. As a man, it was disrespectful.
I'm not gonna go that far. My parents
got the best. Yeah, maybe in year 2-3, you know, he'll get his manhood back. Right after that game.
You know what's crazy though?
Yeah, go ahead.
Think about it. After the first two games of the season, a lot of people in this town were calling for Joe Barry's job.
Me too.
Yeah.
I said the season was over.
You did?
Yeah, I'm honest. I own my stuff. I said the season's over.
How do you feel now?
They have an opportunity.
They have an opportunity, so you're not going full tilt just yet.
No, I think they have a chance. I mean, now they put themselves, they have a chance. But I'm not going to say the season. Again, I mean, for me, I was very, very, what's the term I want to use? I was over the top. I know that. I was very over the top of that day. Now looking back, saying the season was over, I was acting like a ridiculous fan.
You were very emotional.
Yeah, very emotional. I was hurt, man. Emotional. But also the Cowboys, I was hurt.
So that's what does it for you, losing to the Cowboys?
I think that plays a part. Very emotional.
Look, man, you gotta learn how to control your emotions, man. As a fan, I don't know how you haven't learned how to taper expectations for this team.
I just haven't learned yet.
25 years.
I haven't learned yet. It's an issue.
I mean, hopefully you break out of that sooner rather than later.
Look, man, I'm 35 years old. I don't think that's going to happen anytime soon. I have broken walls with my fist. I've done a lot of stupid things because of this team.
Seriously, you've broken walls. Look, you've destroyed your own property. Let me get this straight.
Not my property. What's my property?
You destroyed the property of others.
Yes.
Because of your football team.
Yes, I was young.
Okay. If that's your excuse, you're going by my brother.
Look, yes, that's an excuse. And excuses are this country is built on excuses.
It's built off of other things. I won't go there.
Do you expect Kirk Cousins to light up the Detroit Lions defense? That defense let mate had Chase Keenum look really good. Case Keenum. Look really good.
I actually do. I fully expect Kirk to have, if not his best game of the season thus far, one of his better games of the season. I'm saying 2 or 3 touchdowns, over 65% completions, 300 yards. That's what I think Kirk Cousins is going to do.
Say that one more time for me. I don't think I misheard you. You do what?
Touchdowns.
That's
65% completion and 300 plus yards.
Kirk Cousins. Redskins quarterback.
Washington football team's quarterback.
I don't know.
Really?
I feel like the Redskins should do what they did against the Philadelphia Eagles, run the ball. I look at a game with 2 touchdowns. I'm a big fan. I'm a big believer this dude automatically going to throw an interception now. One dumb play is going to happen. He's just that dude.
I think it's starting to click for him. This goes back to what I said earlier in the season.
Uh-huh.
Kirk Cousins, whether you want to acknowledge it or not, is a front runner, right?
Yeah.
If things are going great for him, then his confidence continues to build, and you continue to see great or good. The performance gets better game after game after game.
Agreed.
I think that this win over Philadelphia is going to be what he needs to kickstart him from a perspective of his confidence, and we start to see his play elevate for the next couple of weeks.
So you believe that this is momentum? What happened in
I fully believe that
FedEx momentum to it.
I think the whole team's going to feed off the momentum. Look at the way that the defense played last Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
They gave up, yeah, on special teams, they gave up a kickoff return.
Mm-hmm.
And they gave up a defense,
because of Vernon Davis.
Yeah,
because
gave up a touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
I think, the more confidence that Kirk gets, the better that he plays, and the level of play goes up, and it starts to go up and also level out at a high level. So
I believe that he can build from this. I will say he can build from this. But I'm just, again, I'm, I don't want to, I felt like that he could have did that against the Cowboys. To me, the Cowboys defense isn't that good. Even though they've had a good couple of weeks, it's just not that good to me. The Cleveland Browns, you should have did more against the Cleveland Browns. That defense isn't good.
These are all very valid and very true points, but sometimes when, you achieve at a decent level against an opponent that you feel is on your level or superior, then your confidence grows. You feel better about yourself. You feel better about what's going on in that locker room and what's going on the field and in the classroom.
On our Twitter,
what's going to happen with Washington?
On our Twitter page, I posed the question: do you expect Cousins to light up the Lions defense? Hogging the mic, said Kirk is always good for a decent stat line. The question is, will his boneheaded mistakes hurt us enough to lose against Detroit Lions?
Oh, I think he made a fair point because all turnovers aren't created equally. We saw 2 weeks ago when Washington played the Giants. Eli Manning's touch interception towards the end of the game.
Yeah.
You know, when they're driving, they had a chance to win the game, essentially. So all turnovers aren't created equal. But like I said, I think Kirk's at a point where he's starting to really feel himself and understand, you know. He has a great understanding of the offense, but he's really starting to feel himself and he's feeling more confident. And when he feels that way, things typically go good for this offense and go good for this team.
At DCologne 90 has same question. Coming off a tough win versus the Eagles, Cousins should be able to keep up the momentum. Same thing Will T was talking about, that he feels that the Eagles game can now propel Kirk Cousins to go on that go on a run similar than he had last to what he had last year. Is that what you're basically saying? I want to make sure.
Yeah, I think this could be the starting point for a similar run as he did last year. I absolutely believe that.
Yeah, and hopefully Redskins
statistics.
Yes, it did. Yeah. Hopefully for Redskins fans that does happen because if he does play that well with the talent that they do have with D-Jax, Jordan Reed, who was out last week. I mean on Sunday, excuse me. And you saw the depth that this team has that can have a Vernon Davis who played well in the game. This shows you your depth. So with all the talent that they do have, he does play similar to what he did last year. This team could be a very dangerous team in November, December, and hopefully in January. So hopefully in January. You heard me, bro. I want to say February. No way. I'm gonna say February too. In February. Look, which was up? You got something to say? You don't believe in February?
I don't believe in this team for February.
You don't believe in this team for February?
Well,
why not?
I don't, but I could see you could definitely make a strong case. Mm-hmm. I'm not gonna say a strong case.
Not strong. Case. Yeah, you can make a right? case because Minnesota might look Minnesota like
yeah,
February.
Minnesota's looking like world beaters. Then you also have Seattle, who
Thief,
who comes into Washington when it comes to playoff games and leaves the fan base with.
Well, they don't have to come into Washington. Well, they just play Washington. They can play either play. Or. I'm just. You talk about Seattle in postseason.
Yes.
It doesn't even have to be in Washington. They knocked out one in Washington, and they took a couple in Seattle.
So yeah, very true. Yeah. And then you also have a team like Arizona that's starting to reemerge.
Yeah.
That people thought that they would. So, yeah. But you can make a case because this defense is playing better. This defense is opportunistic at getting turnovers.
Uh-huh.
So, and you know, the offense, if you have a consistent running game, makes this a better team more often.
So, Wilstradamus, give me a game prediction.
I'm taking Washington plus the 1.5.
So, you're finally taking Washington. The last couple of weeks, you chose the opposite.
No. Let's be clear. Up to this point, I haven't selected Washington.
At all. I'm sorry. You haven't picked them at all.
Absolutely.
So, you're 2-5. You're 2-4 against the You're 2-4 in Redskin picks.
That's true.
Dang, Wilstradamus, what happened? I'm messing with you. I knew.
Leading the pack.
I'm last. I have nothing to say. I'm last, man. I'm last. The only thing I can't even say I pick Redskins because Redskins games correctly because I pick against them as well and they won some games.
Yeah.
I picked Baltimore, and I picked the Giants.
Yep.
So, to be honest with you, I know. I'm just losing all the way around. I can't even use that argument. Like I picked Redskins games correctly. I'm gonna pick the Redskins in this game. I have them winning in. I want to say a shootout. I have them winning. Yeah, it'll be close. It'll probably be by a field goal. 2017 Washington Redskins in Detroit.
Okay.
So yeah, I that's why I'm confident with that. Kirk Cousins, 2 touchdowns, 1 pick. Matt Jones, about 100 yards. You know what? I'll go out on a limb. Robert Kelly, 100 yards in this game.
Okay.
All right. So,
prediction.
Thank you, man. I try to do it for the people, man. You know me. I'm all about the people. Anyway, it's about time for a commercial break. When we get back from break, it's time for our NFL picks. We'll make our picks. Will T. Well, no, sorry. Say it correctly. Wilstradamus leading the team. And so we'll discuss. We'll do that. It's the Urban Sports thing. You dig?
Deuces.
Looking for sports here in the Tri-City area like you haven't heard before? Check me, yours truly, Mike Knox and the Soul in Sports, weekdays 5 to 7 p.m. right here on Fox Sports Radio, 1340 AM, Hopewell.
I seen your girl post a BM, so I hit her in the DM. All eyes, yeah, I see him. Yeah, that's your man, I hate to be him.
I'm Rashawn Ross, I listen to Urban Sports Scene.
Thank you, Rashawn LaRosse, for listening to Urban Sports Scene, man. Hey, Jay Gruden needs to play you more, man. You know, you listen to Urban Sports Scene, you represent. That's what I'm talking about. Anyway, listen to Urban Sports Scene, my man, Will T and myself, Wally, Ray G, he's out sick. Also, check out the Football Garbage Time podcast at www.footballgarbagetime.com. We have a pick'em challenge with them every week. Last week, Ray went 9-6, Will T went 8-7, I went 77-8. Excuse me, let me rewind. Will Stradamus went 8-7. I went 7-8. That means I'm last place I was last place for last week, and I'm last place in overall within our team. The Football Garbage Time team, Ryan and Scott went 10-5. Hakun Wong and Joanne went 8-7. Joey went 7-8, and Jason went 6-9. Now, our overall records in terms of the Urban Sports Scene, Ray is 46-46. Will Stradamus is 50-42, which is first place. And I'm 44-48, which is last place. You know what? This is another week. It's an opportunity.
This is how I look at it.
I'm
glad that you're taking
that approach, perspective. Yeah, it's an opportunity for greatness.
It is.
You know what I mean? So if I get everything right, I'm in there.
Let me help you out. What? Just piggyback off of my picks.
That's not going to happen. Okay. Look, man, I'm here to win, man. But anyway.
Yeah, you are.
I'm a 44. Look, yeah. Week 7 is going down. I'm guaranteeing this. Right? You're hearing it right now. I'm guaranteeing winning Week 7. If I don't win Week 7, you're getting 2 free drinks from me at the bar.
So you're going to have the best record out of all 3 of us for Week 7?
Week 7.
Okay, let's get it started.
All right, Chicago versus Green Bay in Lambeau Field.
Give me Green Bay -8.
Give me Green Bay as well. The New York Giants versus the L.A. Rams in L.A.
Give me the Rams +3.
Give me the Rams as well. New Orleans versus Kansas City in Kansas City.
Give me Kansas City -6.5.
Give me Kansas City as well. The Colts versus the Tennessee Titans in Tennessee.
Give me Indy +2.
Give me Indy as well. See, you're supposed to take Tennessee in that one. Minnesota versus Philly in Philly.
Give me Philadelphia +2.
Give me Minnesota. Cleveland versus Cincinnati in Cincy.
That's easy. Give me Cincy -10.
Cincy -10?
Yep.
Excuse me, the Giants. I'm talking about the Giants game is overseas in London. Let me go back on that one. So does that change your pick?
No.
All right, doesn't change my pick. Same thing, doesn't change your pick. All right, I said, so you're taking Cincy. I'm taking Cincy as well. We both picked the Redskins. Oakland versus Jacksonville in Jacksonville.
Give me Oakland +1.
Yeah, give me Oakland as well. Buffalo versus Miami in Miami.
This is a shocker. Give me Miami +3.
Give me Buffalo. Baltimore versus the New York Jets.
This is a pick, but I'm going with Baltimore.
I really hope Geno Smith's going to start in this game, too.
Would you hope that?
Because he's better than Fitzpatrick. I'm hoping. You know what? This out of hope. Is Steve Smith coming back this week?
I'm not 100% sure.
Me either. Give me the Jets in this one. I'll take the Jets. I'll take the upset. Tampa Bay versus San Francisco in San Fran.
Give me San Fran +2.
Yeah, give me Tampa. Colin Kaepernick, I do want you to win, but give me Tampa in this game. San Diego versus Atlanta in Atlanta.
Oh, give me Atlanta -6.
This is my upset special. Give me the San Diego Superchargers in this game.
Okay.
All right, it's my pick. The New England Patriots versus the Pittsburgh Steelers in Pittsburgh. I know. No Big Ben. Give me New England.
-7.5.
Seattle versus Arizona at Arizona.
Give me Seattle +2.
This is so tough. Arizona look good. They beat a good Atlanta team at home, though. Give me Arizona in this game. Houston versus Denver at Denver.
So
Simeon's back. It's the quarterback.
Simeon will be back. Gary Kubiak.
He's back. He's already back. Kubiak's back.
Kubiak's already back.
Yes, what's up, man?
I'll still go with Denver -7.
Yeah, give me Denver as well in this game. What's up, man? It's gonna be a good one, man.
Yeah, you almost piggybacked off.
I did not though. Win. No, I did not. I did not piggyback.
My
I did not piggyback. Piggyback. I showed you the greatness of what's going down. I showed it to you. I'll put it out there for you, bro.
Like I told you, if you've been following my picks, then Christmas will be good. If you don't,
all right, give me your fantasy football play for the week.
I am going with Cameron Meredith, wide receiver from the Chicago Bears.
Wide receiver, Chicago Bears?
Yes, he did wonders for me last week on my team. I picked him up late off the wire. Actually, I picked him up Sunday morning at 4 o'clock in the morning.
I like
trail out here.
I feel I like going on a limb. Because I'm that type of dude, and I'm good at this too. I'm only lost one game in fantasy football. I'm one of the best. I'm one of the best who ever done it. I just am.
You couldn't say that with a straight face.
I did say with a straight face. I'm just trying to think. I'm trying to think who I really want. I don't want to give anybody any shockers. You know what? It's not a shocker. He's a late pick as a wide receiver. DeSean Jackson. He's playing against the Detroit Lions, a woeful secondary. You already saw them trying to get him more touches. He's complained a little bit to the offensive coaching staff that he's not getting enough touches. I think little by little he'll get more touches. I think DeSean Jackson against a bad Detroit Lions defense. We saw what Kenny Britt did to him last week. DeSean Jackson goes ham, and he's a guy that you must play. Because I know a lot of people probably gave him on DeSean Jackson because he hasn't been targeted.
DeSean Jackson had an impressive first half last week.
First half. But in fantasy football, it wasn't cutting it. I believe I have him. It's only 5.5 points. That's not doing anything.
All right, just as a bonus, name someone that's on the waiver wire
I'm looking at? Oh, that's a good question. Kenny Britt was on the waiver wire. I'm looking at him, obviously. I want him. I mean, but I was like, yeah, I want to be greedy. I'm sure people will get. I mean, we already got him. But Fuller, if he's healthy, that's a guy I would put on my team. Mm-hmm. I would definitely pick up. It seems like Osweiler likes him more than he likes Hopkins.
Yeah, I don't know what the hell is going on.
Yeah, seriously,
it's baffling to me.
It looks like he likes him more than Hopkins. If I'm looking for another guy on the waiver wire. Jameson Crowder from the Washington Reds, because I think he's emerging. I think he's a guy that's starting to be utilized in a lot of different ways. I'm trying to think on another team. I'm not going to say Butler from the Dallas Cowboys. I think he's a guy that, you know, it seems like he's getting targeted a little bit more. With Dez Bryant being out, I don't know if Dez Bryant's coming back anytime. Bryce Butler, sorry.
Yeah, no, the one guy I'm going to go with is Ty Montgomery.
Yeah, I like the way that the Packers are using him.
I think that's a very interesting dynamic if they continue to use him like that.
Yeah, I do. I do like that. I do like him because they use him more like a playmaker, like how you use Cobb a little bit.
Yeah, if they get him, if Green Bay's coaching staff is able to get him a couple carries out of the backfield,
mm-hmm.
and then also you use him as in a running back position coming, you know, out of the backfield, or even if you put him out there and you put him in the slot, you know, start him out in the running back position,
uh-huh.
Take him out to the slot. You know, he could potentially cause some matchup problems.
No idea. I like that. I watched him. You know, Aaron Rodgers is pissing me off. I do like him as a guy that you want. You may want to utilize. A guy that you should pick up on the waiver wire. I definitely like him. Even to be honest with you, they just traded for trade Kansas City. Now it's Davis, a guy that I think about it. Shoot. I mean, they want to run the ball. They want to run the ball.
Machine,
yeah, that's true. Anyway, it's about time for another commercial break. When we get back from break, we're going to talk about the Washington National season coming to an end last week against the LA Dodgers in the NLDS. Man, decisions. We'll talk about that after the break. It's the Urban Sports Thing. You dig?
Deuces.
This one's for you and me, living out our dreams. We're all right where we should be. With my arms out wide, I open my eyes, and now all I wanna see is a sky full of lighters, a sky.
Time you hear this, I was already spiraled up. I would never do nothing to let you cowards fuck my world up. If I was you, I would duck or get struck like lightning fighters. Keep fighting, put your lighters up, point them skyward, Had a dream, I was king, I woke up, still king. Spap came, nibble his mind, with the milk king. Tell nobody else even f***ing feels me, till it kills me. I swear to God, I'll be the f***ing illest in this music. There is or there ever will be. Disagree, feel free, but from now on I'm refusing to ever give up. Only thing I ever gave up's using. No more excuses, excuse me if my head is too big for this building. And pardon me if I'm a cocky f***, but you c***s are slick. Popping s*** on how you flipped your life around. Rockets, who you c***s trying to kid flip? You did opposite, you stay the same. Backwards is still you. I love it when I tell him shove it, cause it wasn't that long ago when Marshall sat busted black, busted cause he couldn't cut, busted muster up, nothing brain fuzzy cause he's buzzing, woke up from that buzz and now you wonder why he does it, how he does it, wasn't cause he had buzzing circling around his head, waiting for him to drop dead, was it, or was it cause them bitches wrote him off, I guess it doesn't matter now,
this cause it's for you and me, living out our dreams.
You are listening to the Urban Sports Scene with my boy Ice Willie T and myself Wally Ray. Jeezy's out sick. Make sure you subscribe to our podcast on iTunes. Just search Urban Sports. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. Oh my God, I can get stuff out. It's a great podcast. Subscribe to it, rate it, make a comment, and let us know, man. We're trying to get our iTunes game up. We're trying to be the top iTunes podcast out there. Period. Bar none.
Podcast game is where it's at.
Yeah, man, you know it. Right now. You know it. Trying to be like Bill Simmons.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes, seriously.
Yeah.
Monetize, brother. All right, man. We ain't talking about it. We watched a little bit of it. But your thoughts? I think we watched a little bit of Game 4. But your thoughts on Game 5 in the NLDS against the Dodgers for the Washington Nationals?
To be expected, bro. No, I mean, seriously. You know, I was excited with the possibility, right?
Uh-huh.
Washington advancing to the NLDS to play the Chicago Cubs, and I thought it would have been a hell of a series.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, when you are a fan of a sports town in D.C.,
uh-huh.
you kind of become adjusted to heartbreaking losses. You know, Capitals fans will soon feel the same feeling because the season started, and the Capitals will probably do great in the regular season, get off to a fast start, and then when playoff time comes, they will disappoint, which this Nats team did.
You think it's a DC? What are you saying? The DC curse continues?
I'm not going to go as far as say it's a DC curse continues. I'm just going to say that the Dodgers were the better team.
Yeah.
A lot of people, prognosticators and fans like myself, expected the Nets would win this one. I thought it was over. And then you have Max Scherzer, Game 5
against Hill.
Against Hill.
Yeah.
Come on now. Who actually thought that? You know, Max Scherzer. I thought this would be Max Scherzer's performance of all performances. You know, I thought he was going to come out there with like 12 Ks.
I thought he would have 15 strikeouts. I thought he'd shut him out. I thought
he would pitch at least 7.5 shutout innings, yeah, with like 12 Ks, and Washington would get just enough offense to win this
one. Actually, to be honest with you, I thought he was going to have a complete game. I thought he would have 15 strikeouts and shut him down. And I understand he had a good game. He did have a good game. He only gave up one run, okay? Gave up the home run to Peterson, who showed true strength and hit an opposite field home run. It wasn't a bad pitch. He hit a good pitch for a home run, to be honest with you. It wasn't a hanger. It wasn't a pitch that was right down the middle. The dude took a good pitch and hit it for a home run. But I just assumed that Max Scherzer was going to have that epic performance. That performance that we saw Clayton Kershaw have against the Cubs in Game 2 in the NLCS. I thought Scherzer was going to have that type of outing. He didn't have the outing. And then, so the Nationals, look, they lost. But and also I think Dusty Baker, who I do love, and everybody knows I've said that Dusty Baker's the right guy for this job, he got outmanaged.
I don't think he got. That's where I got to disagree with you. I don't think he got outmanaged. I think Dusty did the right things at the right time. It's just that as something that was consistent I'm not going to say consistent, right? I think more times than not during the season, Dusty made the right switches, had guys in the right position, and made the right calls when it came to changing, you know, changes on the mound. But I think what happened was you saw inconsistent hitting throughout the lineup, which is something that's plagued this team through this season and something that needs to change if this team is going to go to the next level, especially with a Cubs team that is young and has hitters all throughout the lineup.
No, and I agree with you to that point that they did have – guys were cold, all right? It is what it is. I'm not going to – I agree with you on that one. But I do think the reason why I said Dusty was outmanaged, there's situations in the game where I thought Dusty just should have did certain things. Like – Trey Turner was at the play. The guy was, I believe, I want to say Robinson walked, or it could have been the other. It could have been the catcher. He walked, and within late in the inning, they're down one. Should just bunt Trey Turner. You have Bryce Harper as your two guy. All right, Bryce Harper. If he doesn't want to pitch to Bryce Harper, that you have Jason Worth with an opportunity. You have Daniel Murphy with an opportunity. To me, at that situation, you take the chance, you bunt him, and let Bryce Harper go to work.
Well, all I'm going to say is I'm going to reiterate my point that I made prior to you. You have to go out in free agency. You have to put more power in this lineup. You need more consistent hitting.
So who do you bring in? I guess that's my question. Who do you bring in?
See, that's not for me to even try to figure out because I'm not a baseball guy.
Yeah.
You know? But I just know, you know, I'm kind of contradicting myself by saying I'm not a baseball guy. I don't know what the solution is.
You're not a GM. You're saying you're not a baseball GM.
I just know that, you know, watching, and I don't watch a lot of baseball. I watch just about.
Which, no, you're good. You observe the Nats. You know the Nats need.
I know the Nats. Yeah. This team is a team that needs more consistent hitting throughout the lineup. That's it.
No, I think I agree. I think the Nationals do need some more. They do need consistent hitting. To me, is the question is, what are they going to do with shortstop? Are they going to continue to have?
I think at this point, you have to. Even though Espinoza is a very good defensive shortstop,
yeah.
At this point, you can't sacrifice
offense
for his defense at this point, because your offense has been your Achilles heel throughout this season, not producing enough runs, not getting consistent hitting during the at the later ends of your lineup. So you have to make a decision, the tough decision, which will be you have to go out and get another shortstop and move if you keep Espinoza, move him to the bench.
Yeah, they can keep Espinoza. I don't think Espinoza is that valuable enough to say that any team wants to take him off. But it's a guy who hit over 20 home runs. So offensively, he is a guy who has pop for a shortstop or a second baseman. But he strikes out too much. They need contact guys. All right, they need guys who can do damage, who present fear. Danny Espinoza, when you see him out there, the only fear you have is a baseball fan for the Nationals saying he's going to strike out. That's the only fear that you do have.
He's going to strike out. Yeah, swinging.
Swing out, exactly. So. They have a lot of decisions to make. Now, do you consider moving Justin Trey Turner back to his natural position as second base? Do you keep Ryan Zimmerman? Do you keep Ryan Zimmerman first?
You're gonna have to stay with Zimmerman because of the contract. Jason Worth is a year older, but Jason Worth is actually a really good number two hitter.
Yeah, well, he played three in the postseason.
Well, yeah, in the postseason,
Bryce was hitting too.
Yeah, but during the
I know what you're saying.
Season, he's a pretty good or good. A slightly above average number two hitter. And then, you know, the question is, do you bring back Wilson Ramos?
Oh, he's a free agent. Yeah.
Ramos want to come back?
They should bring out they should bring back Wilson Ramos. The question is, can they bring back Wilson Ramos? That's the main question.
If they can't, then you have Pedro Severino, but is he ready?
He's not Wilson Ramos. Good. And then you got, to me, Wilson Ramos is a guy that is already one of the top catchers in the National League, period. Do you want to give that up? He can throw runners out. He can hit. It's not like you're losing. He's an all-around catcher. You don't want to lose that. But what do you sacrifice for it? You know, you just mentioned Danny Espinoza and all these individuals. Now, you can let Wilson Ramos go if you bring a guy who can hit at that position.
Yeah. And then I think we know that Trey Turner is most likely going to be your center fielder, but
which he's a
Is he Ben Revere's a free agent, if I'm not mistaken?
Ben Revere, I gotta check that. I'm not sure myself. Trey Turner's a natural second baseman. That's my.
But you already have Daniel Murphy.
Could you move him to? You can. He's such a good athlete. He's an infielder. You can move him to shortstop.
True. He has the speed. So he has.
He has speed. He has the range. He has an arm because he plays second. He has a good enough arm. And he plays center field. You play center field. You have to have a decent arm. He can play shortstop. Then that does change some things up for you now. Now you have a good hitting shortstop.
Good. Then you need a center fielder.
Ben Rivera has always been a 270, 280 type of hitter. He's always been a good hitter. This is a bad year for him.
Yeah,
traditionally.
I actually liked some games when they had Ben Revere hitting two and they had Trey Turner hitting one because that's a lot of speed.
A lot of speed. Top of your lineup. Exactly.
It's a lot of pressure on defenses and on pitchers.
Mm-hmm. It's a lot of speed. You can go out and get a center fielder.
True.
And then now your infield is now more dynamic. Ryan Zimmerman had a good postseason. He hit over 300 in the postseason.
Yeah.
So if he can build on that, you know Bryce is going to get healthy. Bryce looked hurt anyway. Bryce gets healthy. They can be a dangerous team if they clear up a couple spots. Is Jason Worth the answer in left field for now? Do they find another a younger left fielder who can do some damage?
I think you have to start evaluating making the right decisions for this franchise from the perspective of you might have to hurt some guys' feelings.
Yeah.
You know, Espinoza, Ryan, not a Ryan, but Jordan Zimmerman.
Ryan Zimmerman.
Ryan Zimmerman and Jason Worth.
Yeah. There's some decisions to be made, to be honest with you. This Nats team, but I see potential this Nats team could continue and be a better team. If I was them, I would move Trey Turner to shortstop, and I would definitely look for like a high price center fielder. Somebody that can do damage. You can hit the ball,
but you still have to take into consideration. You still have to sign
Bryce
Harper.
Well, Michael A. Taylor becomes the center fielder that they thought he would be.
Defensively, he's pretty good.
Yeah, defensively, he's good. But, you know.
That he strikes out a lot.
Same issue they have with Danny Espinosa.
Yep.
Anyway, only time will tell, man. Man, we're about to wrap this show up. Thank you all for listening to the show. We appreciate you all. Will T, you got any parting, any shot, any nah, last man, words or whatnot?
Once again, just thank anyone who took the time out. I know you're not listening to us live because of our technical delays.
But, yeah.
You know, if you're listening on a Podbeam or listening to a podcast, we appreciate you taking out the time to listen to sports fans just like yourself. Appreciate it, man. Much love.
All right, much love, man. Hey, Mega, lead us out, homie. It's the Urban Sports Saint for ages. You dig?
Deuces.
Did I mess it up?
You did.
It's the Urban Sports Saint
for ages.
You dig?
Deuces.